Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
In the most high name of the most high spirit, in the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie, in the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantant Makut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What have you here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Welcome back once again to the Gore Press Gorecast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Sarah.
Hi Sarah, how's it going?
Pretty good, apart from being full of a cold at the moment. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm really excited. I literally just watched Happy Birthday to Me just now.
Okay.
And tonight I'm going to see Four Flies on Grey Velvet on the big screen.
Sweet.
And that's followed by Delamorte, the Cemetery Man.
You see how many get?
Yeah, it's only £7 as well.
Ah, awesome!
But they're just projecting the DVDs, so I mean it's not going to be too amazing, but still it should be good fun.
Yeah,
room full of sweet Giallo fans hanging out, chatting. I assume maybe there won't be any chatting. Maybe we'll all just sit and stare. What's new? Is anything new going on that you want to talk to me about?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, no.
Did you tweet to Dave about doing a segment for the end of the month thing?
I haven't yet, no, but I'm sure we'll be all for it.
Cool. We'll talk about that later. I'm just going to get into it in a minute. But before that, don't forget you can send all your feedback to us at podcast@gorepress.com.
Yep.
Or you can obviously comment on the page on gorepress.com, where there's also reviews and competitions and other stuff, exciting things that are generally going on.
Yeah. We still haven't had any feedback, have we?
No, we haven't.
So that would be really nice.
I don't know, have we?
I don't think so.
Yeah, some feedback would be lovely. Yeah. I would really appreciate that.
I got feedback off Scullion this morning. I don't think it counts as feedback.
It might do.
Well, he basically said we were doing a fucking ace job, but then followed that up with, it's supposed to be funny, right? So, I'm not sure whether that negates the first comment or not.
Well, we'll see.
It is supposed to be funny.
Is it?
But, well, as I'm
taking it deadly serious.
As I said to him, probably more in a laughing at us rather than with us kind of way.
Yeah.
Well, me, at least.
It's like slapstick, like verbal slapstick.
If you say so.
Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter as well. I'm @_dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I'm @SarahBDemented. And if
that's just the letter B, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can follow Dave, who does the whole GorePress thing.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter @GorePress.
Funnily enough, yeah.
Yeah. So should we just crack on? Do you want to stop and have a little break and then get into it?
Yeah, could do.
Okay, cool.
Right.
We'll do that then. We'll be back after these messages from our friends.
Dear Mr. Vernon, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice a few hours a week to podcast about whatever you find important. But we think you're crazy asking us to write an essay telling you who we think we are. You see us as you want to see us, in the simplest terms and the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each of us is a podcast about other podcasts.
A podcast about television.
A podcast about films.
A podcast about music.
A podcast about books.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Podcast Podcast. The Podcast Podcast is your one-stop source for all the podcasts on the internet. Each week we have very special guests from some of the best shows on iTunes so that you can decide if you should check them out or keep on moving. Find us at thepodcastpodcast.com or search for us in the iTunes store by looking for me, Fozzie Bear. That's F-O-Z-Z-I-E-B-A-R-E. Forget about me.
We forgot to mention in the opening the theme of the month and the film we're covering.
Mm.
So we
probably should have done that.
Yeah, we should have done. Whatever. So we're doing standalone slashers, and this week's is Happy Birthday to Me, which is from 1981, released just 1 week after The Burning.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, this was on the 15th of May, and The Burning was on the 9th of May.
Wow.
It's almost a year to the day after Friday the 13th as well. Which was also released in May.
Lots of trivia.
In 1980. Yeah. I thought, because I saw it was in May, I thought, well, that sounds familiar. So I did a little bit of digging. Not a bit of digging. I went on both of the film's IMDb pages. And I noticed that they were all released in May, but a year apart.
Hmm.
So that's quite interesting. Yeah, it's directed by J. Lee Thompson, who directed some of my favourite Charles Bronson action flicks. He also directed some of the Planet of the Apes films, sequels?
Yes, I think he did. At least one.
Yeah, Conquest of...
Battle 4.
Did he do Battle 4 as well?
I think so.
The picture's there. I can't see it in his list. Maybe he just wrote it.
No, it's there.
No, it's there. It is there. I can see it, yeah. Cabo Blanco, which is his take on Casablanca, but with Charles Bronson, which is great. Kanjiti, 10 to Midnight, which is obviously... Bronson favourite involves him shoving the dildo up the guy's ass. And St. Ives, which I haven't seen, but it could be quite good. It's all poor Charles Bronson. I do some Charles Bronson in my life. I'm going to quickly synopsise. Basically, a year on from some sort of horrific accident that's left our fearless heroine, Virginia, or Ginny. All weird and that she's approaching her 18th birthday. She's in with the cool kids, and then they all start disappearing one by one. So it's like it's almost like typical slasher sounding, but there's a twist.
So yeah, fairly typical.
Yeah, I found it to be a bit more giallo-y.
Do you know? I thought the same thing. The whole as soon as I started watching it, and I was like, oh, Black Gloves. That's a little bit yeah. I thought the same thing.
And it's a lot brighter than normal slashers. Like, I'm not saying that it's as colourful, but it's definitely lit a lot brighter than say particularly The Burning or Friday the 13th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any of the slashers of that era.
Mm-hmm.
My DVD looked really good. I was watching the Fright Night.
That's the same one I've
version.
Got.
Yeah. Apparently, the music in the intro isn't the right music, and some of the scores have been changed.
Yes, I heard that as well.
But,
I think quite a few people have been complaining.
Well, the Anchor Bay version that got released that was with the original music put back? Was it Anchor Bay, or was it someone else? Who's the other one? Blue Underground. Was it one of the other? Are you looking?
Mm-hmm.
It is probably a bit.
Well, yeah, it's going to be one of them. Yeah, we're going to edit this out, right?
Yeah. Oh, I've got it right here. Stars. Anchor Bay Stars.
Okay.
It's right on the front page of the IMDb. It's quite long as well for for the era that it came out.
Yeah, it's
110 minutes.
Yeah, just shy of 2 hours, which is pretty damn long, to be honest.
Yeah, it does sag a little bit.
Hmm.
But... you hadn't seen it before, had you?
Yes, I had. But not for a really, really long time.
See, I thought I'd seen it before, but I definitely hadn't.
I'm pretty sure you said last week you hadn't seen it before.
Well, when it started, I thought I'd seen it before.
Okay.
But then by the end of it, I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I really, really, really fucking loved it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I quite like it. I wouldn't be quite that emphatic.
I was fucking It got me. It totally got me. Like every bit about it. Yeah.
Wow.
I really liked how it was directed. I mean, J. Lee Thompson is kind of just like a workman-like hack, effectively. But I mean, it's really well directed. There's really like loads of little neat attention to detail touches. Like there's a scene where Ginny's walking at the end in bare feet, and her feet are just really dirty, and like stuff like that. I really liked like the little details. And there was particularly the scene at the beginning where the dude breaks into her room, and then while she's getting undressed to go in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses closet cam, which is one of my favourite little devices. I really enjoy some closet cam in my life.
It's underused lately.
It is. You don't get an awful lot of closet cam.
No, not anymore.
Because, like, especially in, like, slasher films, and giallo as well. I feel like when we're seeing stuff, we're almost generally seeing through the eyes of the killer.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, am I hiding in the cupboard? Is that where I am? Or where am I? I don't know where he was in that scene at all.
I don't think he was in the cupboard.
No, he wasn't. He was definitely somewhere. She would have seen him when she pulled the dresses apart.
Yeah.
So Ginny is this kind of sort of confused popular figure that likes listening to porno funk in her downtime.
Yep.
While she's in the bath. I don't know what she was planning on getting up to in the bath.
Lord knows.
But there's definitely a lot of porno funk around.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, no, don't read too much into it.
I'm asking what you didn't like about it that made it, that sort of put it down.
Well, I guess we're going to be quite spoilerific as usual.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a hard film not to spoil as well.
Yeah.
So much of its nonsense is in the final fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah. My main issue with it, I suppose, was the ending. I mean, I liked it, but it really
it is
just
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Nowhere.
Absolutely. But that was my problem, I guess, because there's absolutely no build up to it, and it kind of just felt like they really just made it up on the fly.
Well, they did.
Did they?
Yeah,
that would make a lot of
Wikipedia
sense.
That blah 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 blah. Press reported in order to keep the twist. No, that's not it. Blah 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 blah. Wait, I did read this. Here we go. The press recorded that in order to keep the twist ending a secret, several endings were shot. This is untrue, but helped hide the fact that while shooting the film had no ending. The script was written with one ending that made sense of the story, but did not have a twist. Producers proceeded to film while tinkering with the twist, which explains why there is no build-up.
So, what's that then? Somebody incorrectly reported that there was a twist ending.
No,
so
someone reported that to keep the ending a secret, several endings were shot. But that's not true. There was just no ending until they got to the end.
Fair enough.
Like, why? What are we going to do?
It shows.
The ending is ridiculous. And it does like drag the rest of the film down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, that first like hour is just incredible. Not hour, first hour and a half. It's just amazing. I really loved it.
There's some really, really quite cool kills in it.
Yeah, I made a little list of all the kills.
Okay.
Just because they were really different.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you got your straight razor, which is what you know, boring.
Yeah.
But that was another really sort of giallo touch as well, like the straight razor and the gloves.
Yeah.
And there's all that. There's that thing that really bugs me normally, where it's like, oh, it's you. Oh, hi. Oh, no, wait, now you're going to kill me. I'm going to keep talking to you, but I'm not going to say your name because this film is a mystery.
Yeah.
It happens really clunkily in the scene with the guy on the weight bench.
Yes, I thought
and
exactly
just
the same
to
thing.
This character for ages and ages.
And they're not talking back, and he doesn't find it remotely odd.
No, the killer's all in black with black gloves on. Like,
yeah.
Based on who we find out that character to be in the twist, it's not
a bit
something
ridiculous.
That they would normally wear.
No. Not the biggest plot point in the whole film, but certainly up there. That was. Yeah.
I really, it's one of those things that really bugs me. But I just sort of laughed it off with this because I was enjoying it so much.
Well, I think as long as you don't take it too seriously,
yeah.
Then the film's a lot more enjoyable. I mean, if you... if you're looking at it as a serious kind of slasher, then you might be horrendously disappointed.
I'm almost like willing to say that it's not a slasher. It's like a giallo. It's like it starts off as a giallo and then ends up as like a vaguely gory melodrama.
I would still call it a slasher, but I can definitely see where you're coming from with the giallo elements. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things that struck me.
Like,
I would still call it a slasher, though.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, it is a slasher. It's a slasher in so much as, like...
We're reviewing the wrong film if it's not a slasher.
Definitely. Should we just end this now?
Yeah.
Right, so let's go back to the kills, right? How many times have you seen someone killed by a motorbike wheel? I've definitely seen it since, or I've seen it as well.
I can't think of any specific instances, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Mm. It's a pretty neat kill. There's loads of blood, and it's another thing that makes it sort of kind of giallo with me is just how red the blood is. It's just like it's almost like Italian, and it's written in the blood's redness. And like looking at other like slasher films from the time, like the blood's a lot darker in like Friday the 13th and The Burning.
Mm.
Like it's sort of more realistic, whereas this is almost a bit more fantastic. In its sort of true sense.
Yeah.
You've got the barbell kill, which is
that is pretty cool.
Like, it's you can see it coming. I did not expect the weight on the cock though.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah, really, it got me. I really wince a little bit. You've got the shears kill. I mean, we've all seen shears kill. We just watched The Burning. How did the other character die? The one that was drowned? Was she just drowned? Because there was a lot of blood for a drowning.
I don't know. I think I've got a feeling from the sounds of things. The version that we watched was fairly heavily edited.
Right.
So, as far as we were concerned, she was just drowned. But I don't know.
Right. And then there was the coal rod. I don't know what that thing's called.
The bludgeoning,
Coal poker thing.
Fire pokey gizmo.
Yeah.
That'll do.
It's not really a bludgeoning because it's got a sharp edge.
And they call it a bludgeoning. I've read something somewhere, somebody called it a bludgeoning.
Oh, I don't think that counts. A bludgeoning is like a blunt object, isn't it?
I don't know.
They've got the same first three letters, so I assume that's what it means. And then there's a knifey, throaty type deal.
Yeah.
And then a sort of chesty, stabby, stomachy, stabby type deal.
Yep. The shish kebab, obviously.
Oh, of course, I didn't write the shish kebab down.
You didn't write that down? Oh my god, that's the most memorable one, surely.
Yeah, maybe I didn't write it down so I can remember it.
And that was sort of what they used for the original artwork. Because a lot of people I've read have complained that they did away with the original artwork for the re-releases. And that was a lot of people's kind of favourite part. But the guy that is on... I mean, there's a picture of it on the back cover of the DVD that we've got.
Yeah.
But it's not the guy.
Is it not?
No, it's not Matt Craven.
Isn't that the other guy?
I don't know. It's
the one in the bell
completely
tower.
Maybe.
It looks
it's
like
a totally different actor.
It's definitely a different shish kebab as well.
Well, that I couldn't tell you. No, so I'll have to take your word for it.
It looks pretty different to me. I thought as well, the Alfred character, I thought they were setting him up to be the very similar, very like the same Alfred character from The Burning.
Yeah, basically, did we have the same thought process throughout this film?
I don't know. Have we spent too much time together?
Maybe. Maybe we should wait another 7 months. We should wait another 7 months before recording the next one, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but that kind of... one of the first things was just like, right, so around 1981, Alfred was the dweeby film name of choice in slasher movies.
But he was also very Jewish as well.
Yep, that too.
And he was all bullied in that. I don't know why they hung out with him if he's so much.
I just like
really
at
the burning.
That.
Yeah, you're in a camp, so you're kind of stuck with this nerd. Like, he's in your group of friends.
Yeah, I find it strange that he was one of the kind of almost inner circle that was supposed to be invited to her birthday.
Yeah,
I found
didn't
that
the mum
bit...
just invite all the richest?
I guess so. Yeah, people she thought she was friends with or something.
Mm. He's also one of the suspects, isn't he?
Yes.
Who else did you suspect? Obviously, there's the Dr. Dave.
I don't know, really. My money was on the main character the whole time. But then really? It became... Yeah, but then it got to about, sort of, I don't know, an hour and 10 minutes in, and then it became too obvious. So then I wasn't sure.
Yeah. It's almost a bit... what's the word? I like Switchblade Romance.
Yeah.
Like, by the time you get to the end, you're like... Yeah, it's her. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction, too. I can't believe how much of this movie I've forgotten. I mean, it must have been 15 years since I've actually seen it.
And you were 40 then.
Screw you. It
I
was
know,
half
I mean,
my
I can,
life ago.
I can imagine that some of it is pretty forgettable.
Well, you'd think so, but it was mostly the second half that I didn't remember.
Yeah.
Would you think of an ending like that would have stuck with me? Just for what the fuck value?
Yeah, the film, do you think it's... I think it's pretty underrated, isn't it? It's not
really,
one of those slashes
yeah.
that you hear people talk about.
No, not very often. Not at all.
Like, I said something similar with The Burning, but this like, The Burning gets a lot more press than this does.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is one of those... movies that kind of the last time anybody heard of it was a VHS in some dusty rental store.
Yeah, very poetic.
I meant it literally.
Yes.
Not that poetic. Yeah, it's just kind of been forgotten about, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Sadly.
I mean, it's how many It's got 3,000 votes on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite a lot, but not that many. Like, based on when we looked at Friday the 13th, and that has been like 50,000.
Yeah.
So, it's really weird how Friday the 13th is the one.
Yeah, because it's inferior to a lot of...
I think it's inferior to this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, this is longer, but it... And it has, like you say, it sags in places, but it seems to... move along quicker.
Yeah.
I was never bored while watching this.
There was a few bits where I was like, okay, well, something's going to happen soon because nothing's happened in a while.
Yeah.
And if anything, I mean, that's kind of to its detriment, but that's about it. I mean, IMDb, the ratings, it gives it 5.6. And that's low, I think. Very low.
I don't think it's that low for a horror, to be honest. I think horror gets lower marks than any other genre on IMDb.
Oh, we didn't mention that it's Canadian.
Oh, I didn't know that, is it?
Yeah, so it's one of the few sort of fairly well-known sort of early Canadian horror films. I think Prom Night was Canadian as well.
Okay.
And was it Prom Night? I think it was Prom Night, definitely the sequels. So it's shot in Canada, all Canadian crew in that. I think it might even be... Yeah, it's because the budget was Canadian, $3.5 million in Canadian dollars.
Hmm.
Yeah. What else have I got in my notes? The script is okay. I mean, the characters are just early 80s slasher characters.
Absolute stereotypes, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's like they make them all these rich dicks. Like, they're all dicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
And... it's just so you want them to die.
yeah. I didn't really care about any of them.
Hey, did you know what my theory was?
Go on.
That it was Dr. Dave following her around, and he was killing everyone, and then he was cleaning it up before she woke up. So we saw the killing happen, and then... So we were meant to think that he was doing it for her.
Okay.
Because he was just so creepy, but he was understatedly creepy, unlike that other character with the knife, or Alfred. Yeah, because at that bit he was like, I'll never let anyone hurt you. Which is a bit creepy for like a therapist or whatever he's meant to be.
Well, absolutely. That would have made more sense than the actual ending, that's for sure.
Or that she was doing it and he was cleaning it up to sort of keep her safe.
Yeah.
Like, those were the thoughts that I had. Obviously, that's not what happened.
No.
Everyone's also really very vague. When,
not something I noticed.
Well, it really niggled me a little bit. When What's the character with the knife in the bell tower? What's his name? Like Ozzy or Donnie or Ollie or...
or Jeff or
Rudy.
Something.
Rudy. His name is Rudy.
Okay.
When he asks Ginny out at the football match, he says, hey, what are you doing later on? And she says, nothing. And he says, okay, meet me by the bell tower. And then that's it. Like, I don't, was he waiting long?
Maybe.
Like, it's just really silly. And also, he's the most selfish...
That happens a lot, though.
Yeah, yes, it does. It bugged me out. I totally caught it in this. Because I was really caught up in it, so... Like, the little bits that did pull me out of it really got me. He's also the most selfish football player I've ever seen in my life. You can't play football like that. Or soccer, if you're an American. You can't play it like that. It's not how football works. So that... That was one of the other things that I sort of noticed. Some of the effects were a bit crap. The frog leg thing, you could totally see the holes in the wood where they were just like poking sticks. And then like in the scene where they're operating on her brain, I don't know if she's got a cone head under that hair or something, but she, her head's definitely like huge, apparently.
Maybe it is.
We'd notice it, surely. Also, where did her hair... How did her hair grow back to that length in a year?
It was 4 years, wasn't it?
I thought it was a year.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't listening. I thought it was 4 years. It was 4 years since the accident, since her mum had died.
Was it? No, it says she suffers from blackouts due to a freak accident 1 year earlier. That's what the IMDb...
I could have sworn they said 4 years in the movie. I don't know. If it was a year, then no way did her hair grow back that quickly. It must have been a very good wig. Or a bad wig, whichever way you look at it.
Yeah. Right, here's a more informed synopsis.
Okay.
Well, I say synopsis, it's the whole film. blah, 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 blah. This is ridiculous. This is like, I once read the entire Wikipedia page for Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Because why?
It explained the whole plot in a really, really funny way. And it was like, and then Alvin said this, and then Brad Simon said this, and then David Cross's character said this, and then, and I just thought it was amazing. It's like, I never need to watch the film now, because I read that. And this is literally written the same as that. They all have to drive their cars over the opening bridge. When Virginia is in the car with Greg and Amelia, goes over the bridge, she screams, "Mother!" visibly upset. She demands the car to be stopped. It's really good. It doesn't say how long ago it was then. At the dirt bike race, Virginia and her friends are cheering on Etienne, who wins the race. It is strongly implied that Virginia will be arrested.
Did you write it?
I didn't, but I really like it.
To check that out.
It's not a synopsis. How is this a synopsis? It's about 1,000 words long. Also, one of the things I was reading was, I was just looking through some of the reviews because, like, I saw that some of them were quite high scores and some of them were quite low scores. Mm. And one of them was like, it makes me wonder if the creators of Scream and I Know You Did Last Summer watched this movie to get ideas. But I think this movie is better than those movies.
Oh, bless.
So it makes me really happy that the people out there, like, it's lovely. It really is. It's a little bit, I know, a little bit patronising, but it is lovely that like some people just don't get it.
That is quite sweet.
Yeah.
Did you write that too?
No, I didn't, because I'm fully aware that the creators of Scream were they'd never watched any slasher film before they made that one.
I don't think they did.
No.
So what? Right, Melissa Sue Anderson, who played Virginia. What else had she done apart from?
She was in Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, that's what she was most famous for, isn't it? But
and she was.
Had she done horror before?
I don't think I don't know. Let's have a look. She's got an amazing scream. She was fully like primed to be like. She could have been like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Well. I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't know. She makes a good scream queen. I'll give you that. Yeah. I don't think... I wouldn't go as far as to say, like, amazing.
I think her scream was amazing.
Like, yeah.
her, maybe she's not the best actress in the world.
No.
Actor. She's not. She's not. I mean, she's not great. But no. Her scream was really quite impressive.
Yeah, it takes more than that, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Does it?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Who's Laura Donovan? What character is that? Is that a character?
I don't know. I've got completely sidetracked now.
I'm just looking at other films that she was in. She was in the film called The Suicide Club, and she played Laura, whatever I just said, on TV. It literally says Laura Donovan on TV is the name of her character.
Oh, God knows.
She was in a film called Dead Men Don't Die. Surely they do.
Yeah, have done.
Yeah. I'm not seeing any other really horror films in here. She was in a film called Killer Lady as American Lady.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of sad, because she could have been a pretty good screen queen.
Yeah, she could have, like...
if she'd stuck at it.
She's sort of like almost like a Laurie Strode type. But yeah, never really happens. She also reminded me, and I don't know if this is because of the ridiculous twist, but she also reminded me a little bit of Rebecca Gayheart in Urban Legend.
I don't see it.
I think it's something about the eyes.
Maybe.
Rebecca Gayheart's got those really striking eyes. I don't know. But the twist is also very similar to Urban Legend.
Yeah. Maybe the makers of Urban Legend watched that movie and got ideas.
And this one is better. So yeah, it is kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's tonally, even though it's not really, I don't know if it's supposed to be, but it's definitely like a lot lighter than your sort of hulking brute slashers.
Like, yeah.
Lighter in tone, a bit more sort of...
It makes me wonder how much it had been tampered with, though, and how much difference it would have made if we'd seen the original intended version. Just with that snippet about the music over the beginning credits having been changed from kind of scary music to this awful disco number. Just makes me wonder how many other changes there've been. I don't even understand why that would have been changed.
Well, there's, I guess there's rights issues. There's all sorts of things you can. I guess they wouldn't have signed an agreement for DVD music back in like 1981. I mean, they might have. VHS might have been on the way, or whatever. Subsequent video releases, or something like that. But I don't think they would have had an agreement with DVD, which is why a lot of music gets changed from older films.
Yeah, it's just such a drastic change, though. I mean, they could have substituted it for something similar.
Yeah, I guess so.
It just seemed a bit glaringly out of place.
Mm. It is. But I mean, like, from what I know about J. Lee Thompson, he is just, like, a studio get in, make a cheap film, get out. Like, based on, like, the canon action films that I've seen that he's made with Charles Bronson. It's literally just, like, XYZ, out the door.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, then. Maybe he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, probably. Because it is like, I think Canon, companies like Canon and PM Entertainment and stuff like that were doing effectively what City Asylum do now.
Yeah.
Maybe not doing it so brazenly, but like just making sort of cheap films that do the job. They get you in, they get you out. It's pretty forgettable, apart from 10 to Midnight, which is fucking boring. And this, which is also fucking boring.
Yeah.
One of the things, it really normally really bugs me when a lot of exposition and explanation is flashbacks. But again, I let it slide. And I don't know why.
I don't know why.
This film
you're
just,
in a
like,
particularly good mood.
I literally just watched it and I'm buzzing off it. I don't know if it is that I found out that I get to go see Four Flies and Grey Velvet like tonight.
Maybe.
And like, maybe after Four Flies on the big screen, I'll be like, oh god, that was fucking shit. Next to happy birthday to me, Jesus.
Tainted all future films for you.
Yeah. Oh god, this Citizen Kane's rubbish. Where's the skill?
That would improve most films, I'd imagine.
It definitely would. Can you think of anything that wouldn't be improved with like a big skewer to the throat?
No. Not one.
Yeah, weird. but yeah, so like that would have been a thing that would have normally really bugged me, but it didn't. I mean, obviously what came after it was just nonsense.
utter nonsense.
I guess, how long have we been going?
Like half an hour?
Yeah. Like, I've pretty much run out of notes now.
Okay.
So
I don't really have a
spoilers?
Lot more to say. Yeah, go for it.
So, the ending, right?
Yes.
So, the killer is her friend, who we don't really see in any of the film, whose mum was having an affair with her dad, and they're like sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
And it literally just flies out of nowhere.
Absolutely. She's in the film quite a bit, though, isn't she? Before that?
Well, not really. She's one of, like, the...
She's sort of on the sidelines, but she has a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. But, like, she seems genuinely scared at the scene where they go to Alfred's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, look, there's that girl's hat and shit.
Yeah.
She seems genuinely scared. And, like, so...
Well, yeah,
does that mean that he was in on it?
No. No, because it wasn't a real thing.
No, but like if he made the cast of Ginny's head.
No, I don't know.
Also, it only just occurred to me today whilst watching this that Ginny was short for Virginia.
Really?
Yeah, it never really occurred to me before. So just a name.
Bless.
Yeah. So like, but yeah, he must have made the mask of Ginny.
Hmm.
In order for her to have a mask of Ginny.
Did the reveal not make you think of popcorn for a second?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely did.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I might go back and listen to our popcorn show again. I can't remember what we said about it at all.
I don't think it was that glowing, was it?
I like popcorn quite a lot.
I don't.
So yeah, there's like this weird tacked on ending.
Yes.
And it completely undermines the whole film. But I still really liked it. It did, like I say, remind me of Urban Legend.
Yeah.
And it's very silly and out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, because at one point in the film, I was like... What did I write down? It's kind of all over the place. I don't really know what's going on. And I was really enjoying that I didn't know what was going on, because I didn't know what was going to happen. And then I thought, well, is she the killer? Because like, they never really mention that she's having these blackouts until, like, towards the end.
Hmm. Yeah, they are a little bit vague on that.
Yeah. But, like,
very
the blackouts,
vague.
I guess, are kind of important.
Yeah, fairly.
So... And then, like, she doesn't remember having... being chloroformed.
Yeah, I'm sure being chloroformed that much is really not good for you. Because it must have been quite a few times.
Do you know that bit in Community where they go into Rob, what's his name's office? The other lawyer, the one who's in General Hospital, whatever it's called. Children's Hospital.
Rob Corddry.
Yeah, when they go into his office and then Annie chloroforms the security guard.
Yeah.
And they're like, shit, what do we do now? So they all just like lie on the floor and pretend to be chloroformed.
Look at you loving Community. It's crazy.
I do love Community.
I can't
wait for it to come back.
I'm glad. Yeah, nor can I.
Yeah. Also, this film reminded me of the existence of Dracula the series, whatever it's called, where the kid that played Alfred was in it.
And, well, I didn't recognise him from anything.
Well, it's about like. This kid called like Max Helsing or something, and his granddad, who's also a Helsing, and then like Dracula is a businessman called Alexander Lacard, obviously, and they're him and like someone else and like their uncle Helsing, they're just trying to kill him. It only went for one season, but I really vividly remember it from when I was young.
That sounds awful.
It was good at the time. I can't remember what the tone was like though, if it was like Big Wolf on Campus, or if it was like Gary Indiana, or if it was like more serious, like Are You Afraid of the Dark? Do you know what would be really good as well for a sort of a monthly, like a month thing? If we look at like a few episodes of like an old TV show like that?
We could do that in the wrap-up show.
Yeah, we could.
Just like 10 minutes or something. We should probably talk about this while we're not recording, really.
Well, we can't. So do you want to wrap up? Have you got anything else you want to say?
Not a great deal. I mean, the film, I'll be honest, it didn't make a huge impact on me. Not like it did with you, anyway. It's definitely very watchable. It's got some really fairly imaginative or well-realised kills, at least.
Yeah, there's loads of blood.
Yeah, I wish I'd been able to get my hands on the unedited version. Apparently there is one floating around somewhere.
Well, apparently the VHS is an even longer cut than the American cinema version.
Oh, wow.
So, like, the UK VHS was, like... was this a Video Nasty? Was this anywhere near the Video Nasties?
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't.
Well, I'll go have a look.
But I'm not sure.
It's not mentioned in the wiki, I don't think.
It must be, right? But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I would have much preferred to see the full version.
Well, definitely, yeah. Without all the cuts. I always would.
Yeah. But unfortunately we weren't able to. Yeah, I like it. It's enjoyable enough. But I don't rate it as highly as you do. I think... I don't know, what I'd give it out of 10, maybe? 5.5, 6?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm leaning more like 7.5, 8.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't go that high.
Like,
it's maybe all right.
Maybe when, like, my sort of excitement's died down, we might, like, sort of rest at a 7.
Yeah.
But still, that's still quite a high score.
Watch it again in a few days.
I don't think I want to.
You give it an 8, but you won't watch it again.
Well, I will, but it's not in a few days.
Okay.
I've got to watch film for next week.
Yes, we do.
So,
are we done on that, pretty much?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add a few things. On the last wrap-up show, we talked about the release of Frankenhooker.
Yes.
It's Blu-ray only.
That's balls.
Yeah, I got a £10 Amazon voucher when I rejoined Love Film.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm so just going to go buy the shit out of Frankenhooker right now. And I couldn't, because it's Blu-ray only. And I don't want to buy a Blu-ray player just so I can watch Frankenhooker.
No. What douchebag decided to release it only on Blu-ray?
I don't know, but I'm really annoyed.
That's not cool.
But kind of like a blessing, because I got to buy... I bought the Arrow version of Pieces to replace my sort of bare-bones version. And I also bought the Ultimate Edition, or whatever it is, the Arrow version of I Spit in Your Grave.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one I've got.
I've just got like the one that was floating about a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But like, I'm really annoyed about Frankenhooker.
Hmm. Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. And with that, I've got nothing else to say, really. You can, like I said, send us feedback at podcast@gopress.com.
Mm-hmm.
Head over to the Facebook page and give us a like. Please do. There's only 35 people, and they're getting lonely.
Yeah, leave us a comment on there if you want
to.
Yeah,
you can do.
That'd be nice.
Or you can leave a comment on the gorepress.com page.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're back with the final film of the month, which is Pieces.
Yes, so excited.
Which is Spanish. Is it Spanish?
I want to say yes. Yeah, no, I'm sure it is.
It's either Spanish or Mexican. I can never remember.
No, Spanish, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I love Spanish pieces. all the films that we've released are really early 80s. Are released?
It's all going wrong.
Are really early 80s films.
Yeah, 281 and 182.
Yeah. So,
maybe we should do a standalone slasher month that's restricted to a different decade next time.
Yeah, maybe. I guess there aren't so many modern standalone slashes, are there?
Not that many. There must be a few in the 90s that could do.
Yeah, maybe. But I had something else to say then. What was it? Well, if you were going to remake Happy Birthday to Me,
uh-huh.
how would you go about it?
In what way?
Like, would you make everything different? Like, if it was to be modernised?
Would I make everything different? That wouldn't be a remake.
Well, anything, I said.
Well, it would have to be modernised, I guess. I don't know. I'd give it a better ending. But don't ask me what, because I don't know right now. Less confusing ending.
I would make it so it was the guy. It was her doing the killing and the guy was going around cleaning up after her.
That would make so much more sense. I kind of wish that had been the case.
And then... But, like, the kills are so good.
They are.
And, like, I wouldn't want to mess with that. But then you get, like, that sort of Nightmare on Elm Street thing where everything's the same and it's just a bit different. And everyone's like... Like, this is how you can't win with horror audiences. Like, oh, they remade it and they changed everything and it's fucking rubbish. Oh, they remade it and they kept everything the same. It's fucking rubbish.
I don't know. In my mind, the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, the fact that they kept everything the same was not why it was rubbish. That was every other aspect.
I've still not seen it.
It's shocking. It's so bad. It's just fucking CGI'd to balls. It's terrible. You should watch it just so we can talk about it. But also, I'm sorry in advance.
Yeah, okay, I will watch it.
So yeah, that about wraps it up, I think.
Yeah, so on that note, we'll say sayonara.
Yes, and be back next week to review pieces.
We sure will. Cool, catch you later.
Yep.
You were a little baby, very long ago.
Long
you're still kind of like that baby, but just a little old.
You're kind of
mommy
old.
Loves you, daddy loves you, Atom loves you too.
You
this song
too.
Was written by Andrew and a Jew. Guess who? Happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to your face! Happy birthday to you! Hey, happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you!
Hey, happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Oh, happy, happy, happy birthday! Happy birthday!